Good evening, everyone. This is the regularly scheduled, or at least usually scheduled, semi-monthly meeting of the PNB National Finance Committee. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a KPFA listener rep and the chair of this committee. It is Tuesday, November 29th, and we are meeting at 8:36 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5:36 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our Paul Martin from WBAI is our secretary, and if you could go ahead and call the roll.
Okay, Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Marcus Jetter.
This is Tracy. He's coming. He's the one who asked me for the login info, so he's not here yet, but he should be here shortly.
We'll go back. Campbell Johnson?
Here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Alex Steinberg? Barbara Wipperman?
Here.
LeVarn Williams? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8. We have 8. That's a quorum.
Okay, great. Thank you. Who just joined us?
Marcus Jetter.
Hi, Marcus. Welcome.
Thanks for sending me that.
Okay, you just missed the roll call by 5 seconds. Our Paul, you've got him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here.
Very good. Okay, so there was a draft agenda sent out to the Yahoo group at 1:42 this afternoon, Pacific time. What I normally do is just go ahead and read it out loud on the stream, so I'm just going to go ahead and do that quickly.
Thank you very much.
The draft agenda item one was roll call and approve the agenda. Item two was to approve the public session minutes that are outstanding. There are two sets, I believe. Number three was to proceed with some of our station reviews, and the schedule that we had was to start with KPFT Houston, continue with KPFK Los Angeles, move on to the Archives Division, and then we would be moving on to the rest of the stations at our next meeting. That's up for debate if people want to talk about it. That was our schedule when we had a November 15th meeting scheduled. We then canceled that meeting. So if people want to perhaps add a fourth station on tonight, we can talk about that when we're approving and or modifying this agenda. Item four is a draft motion by Ken Aaron that was submitted to the committee. Item five. And apologies, my written agenda has two item threes, so R. Paul, if you could substitute a four for the second three. Item five was to pick up some of our pending discussion items that we had scheduled on October 20th. Since we will not get to them all, the idea was that we might spend 30 to 45 minutes getting as far into this discussion as we can. And whatever items we didn't get to would kick over to the next agenda. Those items were whether or not we needed a central file server, a file naming protocol, how to deal with on-air fundraiser receipts that are shared between stations, an update on training on the various software, and a discussion of the accounting platform that we're using. I will add that Kim Kaufman had mentioned a desire for an executive session, which we can do. We'll need to decide on an approximate time for that.
Well, point of information, I need to do that to fully make my report.
So a section of your report is going to have to be in executive session. Approximately how much would you say time-wise, give or take?
Oh, 10 minutes.
10 or 15 minutes with some discussion? Okay.
Oh, my report will be like 5 minutes, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 minutes discussion.
Okay. How do people feel about going into executive session approximately 7:30 to 7?
I do think it should be longer. Maybe 20 minutes. We have some issues. What can I say?
Okay, well, let's take that into the conversation, and we will need to decide on an approximate time certain that we'll be breaking for executive session. And that could be 7:30 Pacific. It could be 8 o'clock Pacific, depending how late people want to go.
This, Jim, can I add an item on 5?
Yeah, you can. What do you want to add?
We're having a problem with health insurance being terminated, and I'd like to have a discussion on termination of health insurance because of the non-payment of central services fees and how this should be equalized between – how the pain should be equalized between all 5 stations.
Okay. I might make a case that we might want to discuss that in closed session.
Okay.
Because it does impact personnel. And in order to sort of candidly discuss the issue, I think we're probably going to have to be in closed session. So rather than starting, maybe we just put the item in closed session.
That'd be fine.
Okay. And keep that in mind because that looks like a longer closed session. Any other modifications?
No modifications. This is Marcus. You originally sent to two of the budgets we're going to review. Could you resend that to me? I'm sorry to be so much trouble.
No, it's fine. Can you just restate what you said? I didn't fully understand. Read the part about the budget reviews?
Yeah, there were two budgets that you had forwarded to be reviewed. Could you resend that to me right quick?
The three that we had said that we would do first, and this was back at the end of October, was KPFT Houston, followed by KPFK Los Angeles, followed by the Archives Division, which will be done by the CFO. Yeah. And the second chunk of stations would be BAI in New York, WPFW in D.C., KPFA in Berkeley.
Right.
And then the final chunk that we would probably do would be the national office at the end. And I think that would be everything.
Okay.
So we would be doing 3 time, and we would have 4 to do next time, or we might have to do it 3-1 and carry it over 1 more meeting.
What I was asking you for is if you could resend the email you had originally sent, which had the attachments.
I didn't send an email with attachments.
I thought you sent an email with the budgets that we were going to consider tonight.
We're not considering budgets. The budgets have been approved. What we're getting is reports from the treasurers about last year's budget and the completed fiscal year so that they are comparing their 2011 budgets to the actuals, which we now have. I can send you a copy of the actuals. The budget is from last year. This is the budget that was approved in October or whatever it is of 2010.
Okay. Well, if there's something I don't have since I'm new that would help me understand what you're doing and you could send it, that would be great. If not, I will shut up.
Okay, I think that I can, but maybe not right in the middle of the meeting. It may be something that I have to do after the meeting because it involves going back and getting some old documents out.
That's fine. Thank you.
But we can we can talk offline a bit if it isn't clear to you once we do the first or the second while it's going on. I can pull some stuff out.
Cool.
Okay, so on the draft agenda, it looks like we have one thing to decide. We have the addition of 2 items, which are both in closed session. The first is sort of a closed session part of Kim Kaufman's report regarding KPFK. The second is the item that Jim introduced. I think between those 2 items, we are going to need to assume we're going to have about a 45-minute executive session. So the question for the group is, do we want to assume that we will have approximately a 3-hour meeting and schedule that executive session for 7:45 Pacific? Or do we want to cut ourselves short and schedule it somewhat earlier? And I'm open for suggestions.
Our fall for time?
Sure. Go ahead.
Instead of setting it for a clock time, why don't we look at this draft agenda? One of the executive session requests is for item 3, and the other is kind of just there, but, you know, could sort of relate to that. So why don't we say that after item 3, How would we do it? We've already got 3A, B, and C. Item 3.5 or something, or 3.1 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll make item 3.1 an executive session for 45 minutes. And
mm-hmm.
you've just told us what the agenda for that will probably be. So
okay. So what you would be saying, so what you're saying basically is that we will go to executive session on the completion of item 3, and that items 4 and 5 are basically not happening for this meeting, and we'll flip them over to the next.
Not necessarily. I mean, we... Okay, my thought is not necessarily. We have in the past come back from an executive session, but whatever the body... if we want to make it so that...
Yeah.
We don't get the stuff, we can put it, like, as number 4.1 or something mm-hmm. like that. I don't know.
I think, realistically, putting it at the conclusion of item 3 makes sense. If we are ahead of schedule and can come back and dive into item 4, I think certainly the group can agree to do that. But I think that might be the least likely option. So is there anyone who strongly objects to placing executive session after the completion of item 3C?
No, but I think we should have an eye on some sort of time certain as well.
Do you have a suggestion? In other words, if we don't make it by such and such a time?
Yeah.
Do you want to go with 7:45 or is that too late for you?
I don't care. I'm in L.A., man. You know, I don't care. You know. I mean, y'all on the West Coast, on the East Coast, need to speak up on this.
Any strong objections to 7:45 being the point of no return?
That being 10:45 Eastern.
That's like 10:45.
9.
That's the point of no return to go to executive session if we don't get there naturally sooner. We're going to schedule it after item 3C, and hopefully we will get there well before 7:45. What Kim is saying is that if we don't, then no matter where we are, we have to stop and go to closed session.
How about if we make that drop-dead time 7:30 West Coast time? That'd be 10.
Can you live with that, Kim?
It doesn't, yeah. I mean,
Okay.
I don't care.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's our modified agenda. Is that clear? Does anyone have any questions?
Fast question here as I try to do two things
yes.
at once. Damn it. couldn't do two things at once. All right. So what we're doing is, let me get back and look at that. We're adopting the agenda, and what we're going to do is instead of the two amendments, we're going to make it into like one amendment that it is going to be executive session. That I'm getting back to, executive session as item 3.1, no later mm-hmm. than 10:30 p.m. Eastern.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we do not set the closed session agenda in open session, but, I mean, verbally we are agreeing as to what that executive session is going to consist of, but that's all that we're going to do here. And we can deal with the order of closed session when we're in closed session. So, yes. Are there any objections to what our Paul just said?
I don't know what he said, but I'm sure I don't.
Okay, is that an objection or just an expression of frustration?
Yeah, I didn't quite get it either.
All right. The adjustment that we are making to the draft agenda is that we are inserting a closed session as item 3. D or 3.1, yeah, 3.1 with a time certain of 7:30 p.m. Pacific time, 10:30 Eastern time.
Okay, and this
meaning that if we do not, achieve 3.1 on the agenda by 7:30 or 10:30 Eastern time, we will move to that item.
Point of information, Tracy. So this is the first 3.3. That the 3.1 would be following, or
yes.
is it following the second 3?
That's really 4.
I know. It's following the first 3.C.
Okay.
It's 3.1. The second item, number 3, is actually item number 4.
Okay.
That's a typo. Okay? Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Okay. So with that, the agenda is approved. Without objection. Arpal, I know we have minutes from October 20th. We may well have one other set of open session minutes, but I will defer to you on that.
We have, let's see, looking up on the... yes, we have stuff from the last time.
The 11th.
We have two, since one of them was exec. We have from October 20th, and we also had a meeting on... on the 11th of month. Let me... Okay, very fast. I'm looking right in there to see October 20th. And we did not do any minutes at all. So, yes, we have the 11th and the 20th to do. And...
Yep, that sounds about right. Okay, so starting from the top, and I know that you distributed both sets of minutes because I saw them both go out. So starting on October 11th, are there any changes or modifications to those minutes from members of the committee? You are free to abstain on approving the minutes if you did not review them.
I'm going to abstain.
This is Marcus. I'll abstain.
This is Bill. They look okay to me.
Okay.
I'm so both the October 10th and the 20 or the October 11th and 20th minutes, public minutes.
You're abstaining?
No, I'm moving.
Is that what you said, Bill? Oh, okay. You're moving approval. Let's just do abstentions for the record, and let's do them one by one. So if you wouldn't mind, could you move October 11th first? Because some people want to abstain, so we want to put that in the record.
Point of something here. Not to put too fine a point on it, but abstentions don't get recorded or anything. So
you're not recording them? All right.
Well, they're not. I mean, we can call
it. Okay.
Sure.
Really, if we're... People don't have to vote on something they don't have to vote on. So,
okay. Well, let's let them announce for the stream if they want to abstain. Then it'll be on the stream and it's, you know, nominally recorded. Yes, Campbell?
Yes. If the number of abstentions is greater than
that is correct. Then the minutes are not approved. Yes.
That's right. Okay.
Point of order?
That's correct. I doubt that is probably the case, but we will find out.
Point of order? Point of order.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay.
No, that's wrong.
Go.
You can have, if you have 100 people voting and 99 abstain and one votes in favor, whatever that was voted on is passed. Abstentions do not count ever.
Folks, there are 8 of us, and I think 2 people are abstaining, so I think it's academic. But anyway, let's go ahead. Bill, could you move passage of the October 11th minutes?
Yeah, I move we approve the October 11th public session minutes.
Okay, sounds good. Are there any objections, number one?
Abstention.
I'm getting to that, Campbell.
Okay.
Who would like to abstain?
Campbell Johnson.
Do you need a second?
No, it's a committee. We don't need a second. All right, Campbell's abstaining. Kim's abstaining. Yes?
Marcus Jenner.
Marcus is abstaining. That's 3. Anybody else want to abstain? Okay. Bill, can you move the next set of minutes, which is October 20th?
Yeah. I move we approve the October 20th public session minutes.
Okay. Are there any objections? If you want to abstain, speak up now.
Campbell Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Jetter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're done. Okay, that brings us to the first of our sort of budget-to-actual reviews from each station. What we're trying to do here is take a look at the year's results for each division. I think there's 2 things that we primarily want to do. Number one, we want to take a look at the budget that was approved by this committee last year, although not by all of the individuals, obviously, who are on the committee this year. and, you know, sort of have a little bit of observation about what worked and what didn't work. And the second thing, hopefully, that the treasurers will be able to do is do a bit of an assessment of the financial state of their station and or the division in question that they're dealing with in terms of overall things that seem to be going well, on an upward trend, things that seem to be a little worrying, or on a downward trend that the committee should be aware of going forward. And I think that's pretty much it. Other than that, it's pretty much up to the treasurers to tell us what they think that we should know. And we will also call on any other committee members from that division after the treasurer is done to see if they have any comments that they want to add on or additional pieces of information. We're going to start. What was that, Campbell?
Point of information.
Can you wait until I've – yes, I will call on your point of information when I'm finished talking. Just one sec. The first volunteer that we had was KPFT in Houston. They were very gracious and agreed to go at first, actually, on November 15th, which was a meeting that we had to cancel. So I'm assuming that the offer holds over until the 29th. And as soon as we're done with points of information, we'll go to Jim Boyd, the Houston treasurer, and he can start. Campbell, what's your point of information?
Yes. When was it that you sent out these budgets again?
What?
These financials?
Levarne sent them out many weeks ago.
Oh, Levarne. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
This is Alex. I've just joined the call. I just wanted to get it out.
They were posted to the National Finance Committee as an Excel spreadsheet. If anyone doesn't have it, I can dig it up and send it, but it's going to take some time. I have it open on my home computer, but at work I've kind of got to dig for it. It was sent out actually several times on the Finance Committee worksheet, and also sent to the whole PNB, I believe. Okay, so with that, we're going to go to Jim Boyd, who's the treasurer of KPFT in Houston. Jim?
Yeah, a day and a half before the last meeting that was canceled, I sent out an abbreviated form of the budget that had the actuals versus the 11 budget, and then the difference between the two, and that was emailed to everybody on the committee. But I didn't email it out this meeting because I assumed that everyone would still have it from the last meeting. And that's what I'm going to be talking from, primarily because that talks about the broad categories, and it's easier to discuss the broad categories than going into the finer points. With KPFT, the biggest problem we've had is just generally revenue. We had problems in our first fundraiser, for the second fundraiser, the ice and snow fundraiser in February of last year, where we lost about a day and a half, the first day and a half of the fund drive, and that hit us. That really dropped the amount of revenue we got for the whole fund drive. In looking at all of the income made. We had some recoding, and so the majority of the losses really should have been up in listener support. Website income has been, in effect, transferred to listener support. There was no reason to split that up. So we have a loss of about $110,000 in revenue for the year. And I guess the three items we had the problem with the ice on the transmitter that shut us down. We've also had quite a drop-off in listener support for Democracy Now!, especially when that's the show is on in the morning. The afternoon show is holding strong, but the morning show has had some difficulty. The other problem we have here in Houston, which is we don't know exactly how it's going to affect us, So the user don't know about the purchase of the Rice station by KUHF. Now KUHF, the university station, has two stations. The K-True Rice station is now all music, classical music, and KUHF, the main station, is primarily all other standard news programs along with BBC programming. And we're going right now through the finding out of what impact that's going to have on us. And it's probably not going to shake out for about another year or so until people find out exactly where they're going to lie as far as their donations. All of those stations are having their fund drives about at the same time. So to a certain extent, that helps us because there won't be a bleed from KPFT to the other stations during the fund drives. Getting down into grants, we had a $50,000 grant that was given to us to do marketing and marketing research, and that was primarily a pass-through. We got the $50,000 grant, and then we had development expenses were quite high, and that's where the funds were used. We hired a consulting firm to do some marketing surveys and provide alternatives on how we could market the station to areas that we don't necessarily get into. And so it's, even though it shows that we had this grants income, that was much higher than we expected. Most of that was taken out through larger development expenses. Other than that, everything was pretty much in line. The problem we're having is really getting a handle on the listener support. So, and hopefully that'll increase in the future, and we can get the from the KUHF, KUHA, a problem that we're having down here. Anybody have any questions?
Mark Paul, question?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're operating from the file named KPFT Copy of Budget versus Actuals YEFY2011-2, right?
Well, okay. Ideally, structure-wise, I don't want to interrupt, but we were all going to let Jim Crozier also, Bill Crozier, okay, add anything he wanted to add before we went to questions. But let's finish this question and then we'll go to Bill.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. That's the right file name we're looking at, right?
I'm not. I printed out the short summary that I faxed out, so I'm
okay.
Not online. Are you?
This is Bill. Yeah, that's the one he sent out couple weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Because you said income is off by 110, and I'm looking for that. It looks like, in fact, things are off by like 90, which is
because of the recoding. If you go down to website income, that now is we have a tip jar notation on the website, and we had before considered that as website income, but that in effect is listener support.
Right.
So when I talk listener support, I'm including the website income along with major donor, which we're still trying to figure out exactly what that is, and then listener support. So I'm combining all those three categories because they come from the same pot, and they have the same effect on what we give to central services.
Okay, thank you.
Campbell for stat.
Okay. Campbell, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. We were going to Bill first, and then we'll go to Campbell. I forgot. Bill, you get your ranking member moment.
Okay.
If you want
Jim gave a pretty good summary. Yeah, Jim gave a pretty good summary. I was just going to add that the that contract with Rice University shows up in item 10, which is labeled interest / other income. You see a big bump in February. That's
and if
where
we do any more in-depth discussion, we should probably take that up in executive session.
Right, but we do get some additional amount, a much smaller amount each year. Most of it was in that first year, that February
that's
this year.
Bad. Yeah.
Well, it's nice to get up front, but we won't get that much, like in FY12, for example.
Yeah. Okay. Is that pretty much all you've – are you done?
Yeah.
Bill, or
unless there's questions.
Okay. Then we'll go to Campbell's question.
Okay. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. First thing, the Rice situation, is that a sideband?
We're going into closed session to discuss this, I think.
Oh.
No, I don't think we're going into closed session to discuss this.
This is Lavarne. I think we can answer it's not a sideband. No, it's an HD channel.
Okay. And it was mentioned that three things were in the listener support, and I got the, I got the website income. What was the other thing?
A major donor.
Major donor? Okay. And in terms of the report that you got regarding the marketing surveys and all, is any of that information that you feel may be useful for any other listener areas?
For KPFT?
Yeah.
You mean in terms of reaching areas of the community that we're not reaching now?
No, I was wondering in terms of if the results of that were generic enough to where it would maybe have value for New York, maybe have a value in D.C., et cetera.
I wouldn't doubt it. They started by sending out specific surveys just for Houston,
mm-hmm.
find out who listened to the station and why they listened to the station and how they found us. And
okay.
I would doubt that would and then they went forward from that saying how we could reach these areas. So I would doubt that would be applicable to any of the other stations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they use their own list, right?
They use their own survey, and they wanted to get fresh data so that it wasn't they didn't have to go through anything that may have been done by the station before.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, are there any other questions for Jim or for Jim and Bill?
I have a question.
Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Jim, do you have any theory as to why listenership is down for Democracy Now? It's a phenomenon we've been watching in other locations,
yeah.
And I'm just wondering what you might think or know about that.
We need another war, and we need another George Bush. kind of a steady decline, really, over the last few years. And I think one thing that kind of surprised us, we put rebroadcast a portion of Democracy Now! In the afternoon, and I'm kind of surprised that there's been a fall off, of the listenership, because the morning direct broadcast had been very, very popular. I just think it's the politics of the country right now. And maybe in the next election, things will, pull it together. But I don't know if the other stations are having the same problems. Alex, you said you're seeing that. I don't know. I just have no. Unless Bill has something, I don't know. I don't know why, other than we relied heavily on her program. In the early part of the Bush administration, and I think we may have relied too much on it, just because the politics of the time got everybody riled up. and now they're riled up, but I don't know why they're not tuning in.
This is Bill.
Okay, let's go to Bill, and then we'll go to Ken.
Yeah, well, listener support's dropped off. You know, some, it's been hard. If we hadn't had that contract with Rice University, we really would have been in the hole this year. We have a strategic planning session, actually, workshop planned for this Saturday. We're going to be discussing how to increase membership and things like that. But I've been working on a spreadsheet for my Rice Fund Drive. I'm going to send out to the board. I'm almost done with it. But one of the things I was looking at is, for example, if you look at the money raised per hour, the repeat, the afternoon democracy now, actually raised more than the morning live one for this last fund drive. It's a shorter time, and it's been edited down each day, so it has more pitching and less of the normal first hour democracy now. But we need to be looking at all our shows, I think, and figuring out how to maximize income while staying, you know, consistent with our mission and, you know, also promote shows. We do a really poor job of that. I think this is something we could, all the stations probably could learn from. We can figure out how to help promote our shows so we get more listeners, both new listeners that don't know anything about our station at all, and also people that may only listen to one or two shows and don't realize there's other shows on a different date or a different time that they might be interested in. So
yeah,
that's a big longer discussion though, I guess.
Okay, Ken, you're next.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Yes?
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
We can.
My question would be on the Democracy Now! Listenership or fundraising. Has that declined at a higher rate than other shows? And are you can you evaluate whether or not that's proportional to a greater distribution of the program on other outlets? In other words, a decline in our exclusivity in the Houston area for Democracy Now!
Bill, you might be able to answer that more. I don't, other than somebody getting it on the internet, we don't have any other station, television station, radio station that carries Democracy Now. So we don't have that kind of a problem as much as I think some of the other stations.
Okay, and is it declining in a steeper curve than other shows?
Bill, could you address that?
Yeah, I think all of them have dropped off some. It's just that it's you know, for a long time it's been our biggest fundraiser, and we got, in terms of listener support, we get about a quarter of our pledges just from that one show. It's a little scary to be so dependent on one show. But I think it has dropped off a little bit more than some of the others. It's still the number one show in terms of listener donations, but...
But to concur with he's saying, it's not being broadcast on any cable channel.
It's on a public access TV station.
But it has.
But I don't think it has too many people watching.
It has been for years anyhow. That's not a new phenomenon.
Yeah, that's nothing new.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, might I ask another question? Whenever.
Yeah, is there anyone who has a question for the staff who hasn't said anything yet? Okay, you're up, Campbell.
Okay. I was wondering, under item 6780, other development, is that related to the anomaly that you had on the grant, other development expense? You said, or it was said that it was a flow-through pretty much? That would be line 176.
I'm not looking at what you're looking at.
Okay.
So I don't know if I can answer that. Under development expenses,
it was a $56,000 expense, whereas budgeted at $7,000.
Yeah, no, that's, and it was, we put out just under $50,000 to pay for the marketing.
For
45,000, I think, Bill, that we paid out to the marketing company.
That's about right.
Okay, so that was the flow through of that grant then.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So
thank
the 50
you very
up
much.
On top for the
right.
grants, and then it's carried through for about $45,000 someplace in that for the expense. It was just a wash.
Okay. If I might just one more, I noticed that
okay.
your actuals on community events expense was substantially greater than you had budgeted for. Were there some different kinds of events that you put on than you have had anticipated?
We had a chili cook-off that we took a hit on expenses that we didn't expect. We expected more revenue and expected lower expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And we had not put a chili cook-off on, 10 years. And it was just something that didn't come out the way we expected it to come out.
Mm-hmm. Did y'all have the golf tournament again?
Yes, we did.
How did that work out?
It came out about the same, about 7,000. I think
okay.
8,000, some in that range.
Okay.
A couple weekends ago.
Okay.
That's net income.
Yeah, that's
okay.
net.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Is there anybody else for the stack on Texas? Okay, LaVarne, do you have anything to add?
This is LaVarne. No, I just I answered Campbell's question. But I think that Bill and Jim have both addressed the issues with why they actually produced a surplus this year was the rice agreement.
Okay. Sounds good. At this point, I think we are ready to move on to the open session portion of KPFK. And that will start with the treasurer, Kim Kaufman. So, Kim, if you could do whatever section of your report is open session material, there should be at least some that you can do. Kim?
Sorry, I was on mute. Here I am. Let me just preface this by saying I have a hairline fracture in my elbow. I tripped on my way to OLA Sunday night.
Oh,
I am suffering. So I might be a little slow shuffling around my pages here.
Would you like to sort of postpone this until following?
No. I definitely like to get this done.
Okay.
Because we have issues. So I'm just going to start by saying the listener income was 3.140. Now, I'm not sure which other sheet it was. The profit and loss, the cash position, there's $340,000 worth of receivables. So, and if I look at what our number was from the actual Memphis report, there's like a spread between what's being put here as listener support and this other figure, and I think what our actual listener support is somewhere in between there. So I'm reluctant to say that this is our listener support and base this, this not budget, but year-end performance as this is an actual number of our income. So.
Okay. Would you like to have the CFO respond to what you've said so far, or
sure.
do you just
yeah,
want to
sure.
keep on reporting?
Okay. No, I mean, because that's kind of it from for the revenue.
Okay. LaVarne, I know you just heard this, but do you have a response that you want to make to what Kim brought up?
you know, what I would like to do is, you know, we can show Kim the bank reconciliation to show the listener support and to see the deposits to the bank to show her that this number should reconcile with the bank reconciliation and that it should be a correct number. So if Kim needs to see that, we can get that to her.
No, I think that is a correct number, that bank statement, but I think that everything that is deposited goes into there because it's not broken out. And how can it be different than the Memphis report?
I'll have to pull it up while we're talking. Terry Guy's report that he does. So when you say different from the Memphis report, I'd have to see the Memphis report that you're speaking about.
Well, you know, I did my own calculations based on the his report in our financials. You know, for the year end, it's not hard to, like, you know, figure that stuff out. And, you know, there was some money collected from the previous year, and I figured that out. And, you know, even on a good day, I'm getting a $200,000 spread.
Hmm. Well, I tell you, it's hard to talk about that. But, you know,
right.
I would really like to address this. And what I'd like to do is to do it. We can't do it today because we don't have the reports that you're
right.
Your calculation. So I think that what we need to do is basically you said the bank reconciliation, which should be the same number, and then you want to look at Memphis and see what the
I've already looked at Memphis.
Is.
I've already looked at. Look, all I'm saying is, you know, I'm coming out with a different number than this, and you know, we'll find out when the auditor finishes. But you know, that's what happened last year and the year before, and that's what I'm looking at.
All right, let me just sort of say a couple of things, Levine. Let me say something, then I'll go right to you. I'd like Kim to sort of move. These are preliminary numbers. They are not final until audit. That is understood. I mean, we can only work with the preliminary numbers that we have, and the audit will not be completed for some weeks to come. I think, although I could be wrong, that in terms of the committee, the most helpful thing would be for LaVarne and Kim and possibly Ken to be involved in standardizing whatever the final preliminary number is going to be. I'm not sure that it helps the whole committee to witness whatever back and forth process is kind of going on, because we don't have access to the Memphis reports from KPFK. So,
well, my point in bringing it up is,
mm-hmm.
Everybody may have the same issue. I don't know. Anyways, that's my report on income, you know.
Okay.
So LaVarne and I can deal with it later or whatever, but, you know, I'm not sort of buying this number. That's all I can say.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to go back and do a follow up. There's no doubt. And we will do that at the next meeting. Can you move on to the expenses part of the income statement?
Yeah. Now again, I have two sets of numbers, LaVarne's numbers and Anthony's numbers. And all I can compare it to is 2010, since we had no budget this last year. And
not for half of it.
Yeah, enough so it's just too unmanageable. I'd rather just stick with 2010. Since that's a stable number, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, we spent a little over 65,000 more on salaries. But that's where we're, you know, we'll talk more about that later. Now,
yes.
Administration, LaVarne's number was 400,727. Anthony's number is 505,829. And I'm really not, I did not go and figure out where these floating categories are moving around. I just didn't want to do it.
So So there's some classification stuff that is.
I don't know. Probably, maybe. I don't know. At any rate, we did better than 2010 on admin.
Mm-hmm.
Programming, not so good. Programming, see, LeVar's number is 263, Anthony's number is 201, and 2010 was 190. So we did a little bit over, or like $70,000 over, you know. Mm-hmm. Development, 581, Anthony's 534, and 2010 is 407. So that's either over 100, you know, 20, or over 100 and almost 200. So that's not
okay.
So good.
I'm going to stop for a second and ask LeVarne, are you aware that the business manager at KPFK was issuing differing numbers, and has there been an effort to get those reconciled? Because the year-end financial statement needs to be the same. So.
Yeah, this is LeVarne.
Has some of this been reconciled, or?
Well, as you said, Tracy, these are all preliminary numbers, and the final numbers will come out in the audit. And at the audit, there will be a lot of reclassifications on a number of these line items. That's what happens. So when that comes out, then the numbers should be exactly the same. But when we're pulling the numbers up, and actually Anthony sends his information out early before a number of the adjustments are made at the national office. So his numbers may be different because he gets the numbers out immediately, and they are usually before adjustments are made.
Okay, so these may be the pre-GL adjustment numbers.
Absolutely.
That makes sense to me. Okay. All right, and the GL adjustments are being made at the national office. They're not being made by the business manager. I'm just asking LeVarne. Hang on a sec.
Exactly. They're made by the
okay.
National name.
Okay, well, that would explain some of the
discrepancies. It doesn't explain it to me, where Anthony's total expenses is 2.8 and LeVarne's is 2.7. Where'd 100,000 something or other go? You know,
yeah, that might be that Anthony has expensed things that didn't actually get spent. I mean, that's why you make GL adjustments. You would want to get an idea of what adjustments have been made at the GL to the GL and why. And I think that's something you can go over with LeVarne, and perhaps you should. But there are always adjustments made to a general ledger after the
original. Does everybody have these kinds of adjustments? You know, from all the different stations?
I don't think there's any accounting system where you don't make general ledger adjustments at the end of a financial period. I've never seen one.
Okay, well, this is a mystery to me. At any rate, you know, there's like about a $90,000 difference from Anthony's to LeVarne's in the positive.
Okay. LeVarne, I think it might be helpful if you could take a look at those numbers, and you and Kim plan to give us a slight report back. You know, those general ledger adjustments sound significant, and I think it might be worth Kim having a clearer understanding what they are, if that,
or
in fact, is the reason for the differences.
Consistency is good.
Is that something that the two of you can talk about?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Sure, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Kim, is there anything else that you want to say? Then we'll go to Kim, then we'll go to the stack.
Mostly everything else needs to be enclosed.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, Ken, do you have anything to add?
Not materially. I mean, my areas of relating to the finance for the most part are to get some new systems implemented. But in terms of the current basis of
reporting, can barely hear you, Ken.
Okay, I don't have anything material to add. Kim covered most of the details. I'm working on some improvements in reporting and management, but nothing regarding last year's reports. Kim covered the most of it, the discrepancy between the Memphis report and the DL account, and then some other things we'll discuss in closed session.
Okay, fair enough.
Coming up with my motion. But, I mean, I think that I just wouldn't want to, well, I'm not going to, I don't want to lobby for anything right now. I don't really have anything else to contribute about KPFK's financials for 2011.
Okay, sounds fine.